Hallelujah. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to Joshua 21. Come on, Joshua 21, we're going to verse 43 to verse 45. Now, if you are on Facebook, okay, if you're on Facebook, I sent this out on Facebook as what I was praying for you. It was my prayer for the week. On Facebook, as a directive of what I was praying. And much to my surprise, the response was overwhelming. And I took out the parts where it said God gave to Israel, and I said, put your name in the blank. And folk from everywhere, everywhere, were sending back the whole scripture with their name. Oh, hallelujah. In the blanks. And, you know, the Lord directed me to do that. And so I didn't staff that out. I actually, you know, took the time to type it and put the line myself. Yes, I could have easily said, hey, do this for me. But I was in prayer and I was right there with my iPad. And so I did it myself. And then sent it out. It was amazing because the Lord just said, now sit back and watch this, and I did. And over the last couple of days, we have had over 20,000 people put their name in the blank. Okay. When the last time you prayed and your prayer impacted 20,000 people? Last time that happened for you. All right. So and it's still going, and people are still putting their name in the blank. And it brings me, the reason I did this, Sunday I preached a message called Glory Days. My glory. These are glory days. And all of this is connected and tied to what we've been preaching to you about this year. And what you are about to get tonight is part of that. I was going to kind of piggyback off of last week, and the Holy Spirit said, no, I need you to move forward. I was like, they ain't ready. He said, yeah, I know when they're ready. You be quiet. So I'm being quiet tonight, and the Holy Spirit is taking over, saying that you are ready to receive this. And so I believe that, because the one unique thing about this ministry, is its purpose. Its purpose is aligned with the eternal purpose of God. And for this reason, we are in the place of fulfillment or promise fulfilled. It's not often, particularly today in the body of Christ, that people would have the patience for the promises of God to be fulfilled in their life. Often because the process to get the promise is not smooth. As a matter of fact, it's very difficult. Because in that process of promise, not only do you have the promise of God spoken over your life, coming into your life, but in order for that to happen, parts of you and things around you have to sort of dissipate. And you have to lose parts of yourself, and that's not always easy. Now, I know I'm preaching good because you're not saying anything. All right? No one wants to lose parts of themselves, especially the parts they think are the good parts, like attitudes and dispositions and habits and so forth and so on. And so as you start to lose those things because of the pressure of the process, you begin to think that the promise is never going to show up. And when you start thinking that way, you start wanting to compromise on the promise because you think you're out of time. But the glory of God is timeless, and his promises are yes and amen, meaning they are eternal, meaning there is no expiration date on anything God promised you, meaning that it requires a certain level of patience for you to receive the promises of God. And so as we're talking about God's eternal purpose and we're talking about how intentional God is, I bring you to the story of Joshua because this is promise fulfilled. This is the children of Israel going into the promised land and receiving everything God promised. So in Scripture, there is a model and other models in Scripture that lets you know that it is possible for you to be living in the fullness of the promises of God that He gave you for your life. I'm going to say it one more time. It is possible for you to live right now in the fullness of the promises of God for your life. It's possible because Scripture bears out that it happened. The Lord have mercy. And if it happened, listen now, it happened pre-Christ. Y'all don't understand. Pre-Christ. And so the bombs I have for you tonight, because they are nuclear. The bombs I have for you tonight are about, listen now, employing, or should I say, yeah, that's a good word, employing, to employ provision for your vision. I'm going to say it again. Employing provision for your vision. No vision can come to pass without the resources required. No vision. I don't care what you want to do in your life. If the resources aren't there, ain't getting done. And oftentimes, the mode of operation for the Lord is to have you have this vision. Oh, glory to God. I'm about to mess y'all up. And then it's not that He does not provide for you. It's not the case. It's simply that at some moments of the process, what you have is going to run out. Y'all didn't like that right there. Because that's where you hit the panic button. The moment it runs out. If I had to give you a quick example, Jesus is at Cana of Galilee. It is a misnomer that Jesus is a little boy. He's actually not. How do we know this? The disciples were with Him, as the Scripture says. And He's at this wedding, and the wine runs out. And at a wedding, that's a no-no. At this feast, it's an embarrassment on the host. And his mother gets wind of it and goes tell Jesus. As a matter of fact, didn't tell Jesus anything, tells the servants, whatever He tells you to do, do it. And Jesus tells the servants, go take these 6 water pots and fill them up with water and bring them back. And they did so. You know, when something runs out, Lord have mercy, it's not that it won't be filled back up. It's that it's going to be filled back up with something better than was there before. Look at your neighbor and say, don't panic, don't panic, don't panic, don't panic. Come on, I got to get y'all in the room with me tonight. So here's the Scripture. Here's the Scripture. Here we go. And now I can begin. So the Bible says, now, here's what I want you to do tonight. If you didn't do my little exercise on Facebook, do it with me tonight. All right? And so when you see Israel, just shout your name. I don't know if you really are going to do it or not because you didn't respond. When you see Israel, there you go, shout your name. So the Lord gave to all the land of which He had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave rest all around according to all He had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all of and y'all are too late on it. So Israel has changed to them. So when you see them, say your name. I'm going to start over. Y'all are terrible. So the Lord God gave to all the land which He had sworn to give to their fathers, and took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their what? Into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord has spoken to the house of. All came to pass. Now, listen. Why would I have you shout your name? Why would I have you shout your name? The reason I have you shout your name is because you have to see yourself in the scripture. You have to see yourself walking in the promise. If you cannot see yourself in it, then guess what? It ain't gonna happen. And it's not that God won't do it for you. It's just that you are going to miss the moment in time when it shows up. Because no promise can be enacted upon without faith. Cannot happen. And if you don't see yourself in it, oh, glory, then you will not see the intention of God. And you will not take ownership of it and say, this is what God has for me. When God designed purpose, he designed purpose based on his prosperity, not yours. Bomb number one. Y'all not hear what? In other words, God designed every purpose with its own prosperity. But he does it based upon his ability, not yours. So even, yes, you have purpose, you have vision, but it's not based on your prosperity. In other words, you think getting the vision that God gave you to be fulfilled, or walking in the eternal purpose of God, aligning yourself with that eternal purpose, involves you having to have all the resources necessary to get it done. As a matter of fact, most of it won't show up at your disposal, because you have to understand whatever God purposes, he provides for. No, have mercy. Y'all not here with me. He provides for. So let's take this back a second so that we can understand what I'm talking about. The Bible says in Joshua 1, all right, here's what we want to realize, that Moses is dead. It opens up in Joshua 1 and says, Moses, my servant, he's dead. And they have to make a decision. And so he tells Joshua, arise, go over this Jordan, all the people to the land which I am giving them. 10,000 square miles of land. Y'all not in here. I'm giving you. And so this was a divine call and a divine charge based on a divine time. You don't hear me. 40 years, yeah, to this point, they had been in the wilderness, 40 years. And now the timing is right, and the moment for them to walk into the promise, and they have to do it without their leader. The person they leaned on the most, you better hear me tonight. The person they depended on the most is no longer there. Because they live vicariously through Moses in their relationship with God. Now, the oracle for them is no longer present. And the promise is right in front of them. And so the Bible opens up in Joshua 1 by saying, Moses dead. Y'all not in here with me. What you wanted to lean on the most can't take you into the promise. my God, what kept you alive in the dry moments of your life is not the thing that's going to cause you to take the promise into your hand. It's not going to be with you when you go. So how are you going to deal with it? Y'all are quiet tonight. Y'all are quiet tonight. So how are you going to deal with it? Isn't it amazing that when you start losing crutches, and you start losing people that you depend on, and they're not there anymore. Oh, glory to God. You start trying to figure out, God, is this what you have for me? Remember, whatever God purposes, he provides for. Let's work some scripture. Proverbs 16:1. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, let me help you out. Proverbs 16:1. Y'all got to give me a little bit more energy than what you're giving me. I know it's Wednesday. I've been working since early this morning, so I understand. But this word's going to bless you. Amen. Proverbs 16:1. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now, I know you say, Pastor, what in the world is that? That don't make no sense. The NIV says it this way, to a man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. This statement has to do with provision, provision, provision. Because the Bible is very clear when it comes to the plans of our heart. And so when Solomon wrote this statement and made this statement, he was saying whenever a person receives vision from God, purpose in their heart, it usually seems impossible the moment they get it. Yet God knows that our provisions are never equal to our visions at the moment we receive them. I'm going to say it again. Your provision will never be equal to your vision the moment you receive it. When I got the vision for Kingdom Life Church, I was 19 years old and didn't know the first thing about pastoring a church. Nor did I have any resources to start one. I was 19 years old. I had just stopped smoking weed. I can't get help from nobody in here. I just put the bottle down. Hello, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. On a Wednesday night, I was high as I could be. And by that Sunday, I was preaching the gospel. Amen. And I ain't never stopped since. Amen. I'm dead serious. Amen. And so I'm not kidding. That's my testimony. And so from that, God took me, just snatched me up like, you're done. Let's go. And I came back and I didn't really preach. I talked, I guess. I didn't know what I was doing. And I did it that Sunday. And then that next Monday night, I was in another service in Tampa, Florida. And then they took me to Orlando Tuesday night. And then I was in West Palm on Wednesday night. I can't get help. Then I was in Atlanta on Thursday night. Next thing I know, the next week I was in California. They took me all over the country and I just kept talking. Now I'm preaching. I'm dead serious. I had no idea. I had no knowledge. I didn't know how I was going to get this thing done. I didn't even know I was going to pastor. I just thought I was helping some people by sharing my testimony. I didn't know the provision was not equal to the vision. When God gave me the vision, he showed me everything. I mean, I saw the building. I saw the name. I saw the scripture. I saw it all. But I ain't see no money. I can't get help here from it. I ain't see no money. I didn't see no resources. I didn't know anything about 501c3. I didn't even know what that meant. I had no board. I know nothing. Nothing. The vision is not equal to the provision at the moment you get the vision. Oh, glory to God. Come on, stay with me. And you getting all bent out of shape because God done showed you something, but you trying to figure out how it's going to get done. therein lies the rub, because now you get frustrated with the eternal purpose of God because you think he started your vision based on your prosperity. He knew you ain't had nothing when he showed it to you. Oh, glory to God. Come on here, somebody. And so watch this now. And so now comes the time for me to accept the call of pastoring. And so I do so, and I come here full of faith and fervor and fire. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. And I'm up in here, and then I find out the church ain't got no money. It's got all this debt. I wish I had somebody in here. Somebody set the church on fire. Lord have mercy. I got a school that I don't even know anything about. I got to pay severance to teachers. I got to get rid of the school. I got four kids at work here. Don't know what they do. Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. I got to fire them. I wish I had somebody to talk to. And God is saying, but that's the vision. I gave it to you. Here it is. Boom. And that was my first week. I can't get help from anybody. That's my first week. That was my first week, Pastor, and I sent out thousands of mailers. Back then you did it by snail mail, cards, stock, posters, Kingdom Life. I remember our first logo. I look at it now and laugh like that tacky looking thing. That don't make no sense. Y'all are too fun. You know, because you always think people always think you start here. And my first little logo, because I didn't really understand what God was showing me when he gave it to me, the frame, and I don't have time to talk about that. And so it was just the frame with a crown and a sword. And I was telling this team and stuff how you know what I saw, and then Elder Tommy Owens came and he drew it out for us and made it all, and then we had him come and do our logo. I was fired up about that logo. Okay. It's like it's the best thing in the world. We got a letterhead. I was like, whoa, we got our own letterhead. Can't get help from anybody. I was so excited, right? And I do this service and 27 people show up. I'm laughing now. You see, the vision and the provision are not equal at the moment you receive the vision. It's not that God is not going to provide for it. Lord have mercy. It's not that it's not going to happen. He even knows and understands that when he gives it to you, you can't articulate it. You can't really explain it to anybody. Y'all not in here with me. So what he says is that, I know that. That's why I will give you the answer of the tongue. You don't hear what I'm saying? I know what's in your heart, but I got your answer. You miss me. You miss me. You miss me. He says, look, he says, purpose is in your heart, but the answer comes from me. Y'all, right there. Y'all give me the Baptist stuff. Come on here. Come on here. Y'all give me the Baptist stuff. Come on here. He says, I got your answer. All right? He says, I know what's in your heart because I put it there. He says, but you got to have the patience for the answer that I have for you, for the preparation that's in your heart. You miss. So part of the vision was to, you know, deck this place out, which we did, right? And I always thought we would just go brick by brick, piece by piece, and we would do it. We just have to do it that way. And so I had this one big master plan. You know, one time we was going to go window by window. There are over 1,000 windows in this building. Each window cost about $2,500. Yeah. See these big old wooden windows? You can't get them anywhere. You have to special order custom made windows to fit these massive behind holes in the wall. so don't break my windows. Oh, I'm a Mr. Miyagi you right up in there. And I remember I said, well, we're going to go window by window. We're going to go one at a time. Yeah, that didn't work. And then the city, so when I devised this plan, the city said, we're going to fine you every day. For each day, you don't fix a broken window. So that was in 2008. So we boarded up the back, which cost like $15,000 just to board up some windows. Yeah, it's not a game. I wish I had somebody in here to talk to me. And just to board up some window, and we had paint, we painted, we made it all happy. Everybody was smiling. I was crying, but everybody else was smiling, painting the window, the board, and putting it up. And I'm going, look at what we did. I'm mad because it cost $15,000 just to do that. But we're still getting fined every day. Every day. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So I'm going, God, you gave me this vision. You want me to do this. And yet you got me getting fined. And, you know, the city is coming down my throat. I'm doing your work. I'm doing your will. I know you don't talk to God like that. But this is the conversation I'm having with the Lord. I'm trying to bless you tonight, and you're not receiving it, but it's going to be all right. So I'm having this conversation with God, and I'm like, Father, you know, and every day since 2008, this church was getting fined by the city. For every window. So 1,000 windows, for every window that was broken. Then, on top of that, in 2010, they started to fine us $250 a day for the annex building, which is no longer there. I'll get to it in a second. The annex building that was in the back, because the roof was caving in. And so, you know, we had to figure that out. So every day, every month, I'm getting this letter of how much money we owe the city. And it's thousands of dollars. So in 2014, I think we were up to about a couple hundred grand in fines that we were supposed to pay to the city. And finally, I said this scripture. I said, God, you knew was in my heart because you put it there. You put me in this big behind building. I'm about tired of getting this letter, right? And so I'm in this meeting about Green Street, and we are finalizing all of this, and we're doing all this. And I say to the guy, one of the developers, me, one of the developers and another gentleman, we're sitting there talking. I said, man, I keep getting this letter. And I had it in my briefcase. I said, man, I keep getting this letter from the city. You know any of these people? He says, oh, yeah, her boss. I know her boss. He wants to come to your church. That next Sunday, her boss, the lady that was finding us, was in church that next Sunday. In church. And then said, can I meet with you afterwards? And so he wanted to meet. He had some stuff he was going through. Wanted me to pray for him personally. I prayed for him. Dude called me the next day and said, look, if you ever have any problems from my office ever again, please let me know. He sent me out a letter. It said zero on the bottom. I wish I had somebody here. When God has your answer, you better hear what I'm saying. When God has your answer, he answers. You get mad and bent out of shape, but you're not pushed out of your vision. You're still doing it. I was still having church every Sunday. I can't get help here from anyone. I was still doing what God called me to do, but I was frustrated with just this little thing that keeps coming out at you. See, that's what happens, and the reason that happens because that's called the process of the promise. How much do you really trust the Lord when it comes to his promises? And are you willing to be patient enough for you to receive the answer that he has for you? No one's shouting. There is no secret as to how vision and provision goes together. He cannot give you something and put it in your heart and not provide for it. Because provision is God's responsibility, not yours. You didn't hear what I just said. See, God's will for our lives comes from his own will. I'm saying some stuff and y'all not getting this right here. You got to understand this. What he wants from us comes from his life. Why is that important, Pastor? Because if you think it comes from you, you got it all twisted. What God wants from us comes from his own will. That's why he says to us, it's our job to understand and to believe and write down the vision. And y'all ain't here. And make it plain, right? It's his responsibility to explain how he's going to accomplish it in his own time. This frees us to be creative and productive in pursuing the vision. And so the reason why the process is painful for you is because you get paralyzed in the process because you think God is not going to provide for you. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. But baby, if you can keep moving toward what he promised you, it's going to happen. You don't hear what I'm saying. Somebody in here tonight done stopped and quit because it got hard. I'm here to tell you, you got to keep going. Okay, take it however you want it. Vision and provision go together. Together. Has God ever given you something that scared the mess out of you? I'm living in it right now, so I know what I'm talking about. When he shows me stuff, I go, how? Can I do that? But I've stopped. I have stopped worrying about the how. I've stopped. Ephesians 1:3. Come on. This is familiar. My only requirement, oh Lord have mercy. Your only requirement, somebody please get this. Please get this. Please get this. While you're finding Ephesians, you can multitask. Come on. Your only requirement is to take what God gives you and write it down. Write it down. Right? Write it down. He didn't say plan it out. Mm-hmm. Write the vision. Mm-hmm. What did I show you? Get it on paper. Right? And then when you write it down, then you can be creative as to how you pursue it. Mm-hmm. So you start pursuing. Mm-hmm. Right? And you start looking. But you don't have to look for funds. God, I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. You don't have to look at how it's going to get funded. You don't have to look at how the resources are going to come. All you got to do is write the thing down. And when you write it down, get it on paper, then you start pursuing it. Then you look to God as to how he's going to generate the funds and the resources that are needed to support, watch for now, his own work. God can never give you a vision, ever give you a vision without providing for it. Amen. Ever. Amen. Can't happen. Won't happen. Not gonna happen. Watch this. Ephesians 1:3 says this. Praise be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already, parenthetically inserted, already blessed you in heavenly realms. With every spiritual blessing in Christ. Look at your name and say, you're already blessed. So God has already blessed you with everything you need, but it's in the heavenly realm, which is the spiritual world. Somebody stay with me. Verse 4 starts off with this word, for, right? Verse 4? Uh-huh. for, or according as he has chosen. It says, for he has chosen us in him, Lord have mercy, before the foundation of the world, right? Verse 3 is a reality. Because he chose us in him before the creation of the world. So then God has already prepared everything you would need before he created you. So when God had a vision for this church, before I was born, he had every provision for this church before I even showed up. Before my mother and daddy ever had a gleam in their eye. Y'all ain't said nothing. Before they ever went out on a Saturday night. I wish I had somebody in here to help me out. Before I ever was conceived, God had in store every provision that I would need to do what I'm doing now. Y'all wish I... Do you think he just lets you show up and then makes it up as he goes along? This is why it was hard for you to shout your name. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. Don't think I wasn't paying attention. You weren't shouting your name. You was like, You want to shout your name? Because if you shout your name, you will shout your name. The reason why you can't shout your name is because you can't see yourself living in the promise. God, I'm preaching by the shout. Why? Because you feel like you don't deserve it. You're not worthy of it. I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. It has nothing to do with your worth. It has everything to do with his will. You have to understand that. Your purpose is of his own will, not of your worth. So it doesn't matter what your past used to look like. It doesn't matter that you argue and complain for 40 years in the wilderness. When the time comes for you to step into the promises of God, he's going to tell you it's time. Do you want it or don't you?
Amen.
Do you want it or don't you? No, you better hear me tonight. Do you want it or don't you? The specialty of this church is what I'm preaching at this very moment, to give you access to the promises of God that are tangible and real, not just faith statements, not just goosebumps, not just feel good, but something that you can actually walk in and say, this is where I was, this is where I am now, I'm walking in purpose, I'm walking in destiny. I wish I had half a church tonight. Don't you realize where you are? And then to boot, God makes you walk through the threshold of this church every week, Sunday in, Wednesday out, to see the miraculous glory, and you just sit here and go, oh, that's just nice. Don't you understand you're sitting in promise fulfilled every week? I'm not talking about a pipe dream. I'm not talking about, you better wake up in here. I'm not talking about a pipe dream. I'm not talking about a wish. I'm talking about something that was promised from God, and it's here. Complete restoration of this place. Zero debt to this ministry. I wish I had somebody in here. Land about to be given unto us. More property about to be. I wish that promise fulfilled. I can't do it with you. I can't do it with you. I can't do it. Do you want it or not? See, at some point, you got to get over yourself, and you have to get over the misconception of what real prosperity is. I'm not talking about cars or houses. I'm not talking about blinging it up. You know, you can have all the cars in the world. That don't mean you're prosperous. It might mean you're in debt. That's not what I'm talking about. And this is not a message to get you to give or to sow any particular money. You don't understand where you are. We have trouble understanding how God will provide for us because we have a false view of prosperity. Prosperity doesn't mean excess. This is why you worry when you ain't got enough money in the bank or enough money to fund your vision. When they came to me and said, see, y'all go and rejoice on Friday night, but you don't know what it costs. You don't know what Friday night costs. You rejoicing, but you have no idea. Because T said, look, my staff going, preach, pastor. I don't know what it costs. TV costs money. Yeah. I don't know, you just think, oh, we want to just have you. No, that sucker costs some dough. I wish I had somebody in here. I didn't bat an eyelash. I didn't say, oh, God, what are we going to do? I didn't sit down with a think tank of people trying to figure out how we were going to raise money for it. I didn't call any donors. I didn't call you. Y'all ain't said nothing. And the reason I ain't call you is because you're not my seed. Therefore, you can't be my harvest. I can't get help from anybody. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood, and I can't get help. If God ordained it, if he called it, he will provide for it, and I will not go in the tank or the hole to do it. Y'all ain't said nothing. God will send a stranger from Timbuktu somewhere if he have to. They'll show up, write a check, and pay for the whole thing. It has happened before, and it'll happen again. And we ain't going to be in here having no eight offerings either. I wish I had a church tonight. Because KLC don't get down like that. And we're going to show the world this thing can be done the right way. Oh, glory, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, yeah, okay. Pacified up. I'm sorry. Are you getting anything? Yeah. Your misconception of prosperity is going to be the ruin of you. Prosperity does not mean excess. See, our concept of prosperity is more like hoarding. In the Bible, hoarding is referred to gluttony. Gluttony is a state of mind in which a person never feels that he or she has enough, so they're never satisfied. Oh, God, I'm preaching better than y'all shut up. Whatever you hoard will begin to destroy you. If you eat more than what you're intended to eat, what you eat is going to kill you. Because you'll carry excess weight that you're not supposed to have. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. Your arteries will begin to clog up and you'll begin to put yourself in danger of a stroke. I know I'm preaching better than y'all shouting right now. That's what happens when you hoard. Huh? That's what happens. The Bible says that people who have excess in money may have many burdens, many worries, headaches, and trying to figure out what to do with all they have. Now, the Bible is not against money. It's obvious. Look at your neighbor and say, you know you like money. Calm down. You can go to Luke 12 for that reference. You can go to James 5 for that reference. You can go there for yourself later. But let me give you a balanced view of prosperity. Prosperity, Lord have mercy, in your Bible, okay? Psalms 30 and 6. Psalms 30 and 6, get it? The word prosperity in Hebrew is shaliv, and it means tranquil, being at ease, peaceable, and quiet. Sound good to me. It is also the word shalom, which means peace, safe, well, happy, health. What does a prosperous man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? True prosperity means to be free of worry and fear and reflects a state of, watch me now, contentedness, that everything necessary is being taken care of. So when you have true prosperity, you're not anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. Y'all ain't here. with thanksgiving, you'll present your request to God. And then the peace of God. I'm preaching better than y'all. Shout. When you have real prosperity, you're not sitting there looking at the market every 5 minutes, worrying about when it's going to crash. You're not checking your 401k every 5 minutes. I wish I had somebody to talk to. And I have all of these things, and I'm not sitting back going, ooh, what did oil do today? Ooh, what did gold do today? My hope and trust is in the Lord. He has a better economy than this world's economy. The increase of his government, there is no God. I'm preaching for y'all. And I got it all. I have all these things. And I'm not sitting there going, oh, what am I doing? Not anxious. I am blessed, though. Amen. Y'all not here with me. Y'all not here with me. Come on, stay with me. Stay with me. Stay. So we can understand this. And we can understand how God wants to provide. He will always provide for you. Huh, hallelujah. Based upon purpose and vision. Purpose and vision. Our God is a God of provision. He is Jehovah Yireh, Jehovah Jireh, for those of you who need the English version. The Lord provides. And when it comes to your vision, I don't know if I'm blessing you or not. I don't know. When it comes to your vision, and when it comes to the very minute details of your life, where you want to live, what you going to eat, what you going to wear, Bible says, don't worry yourself about these things, for the Lord knows, y'all not here with me, you have need of these things. He says, but if you seek first the kingdom, oh God, I'm preaching about it, Sean, and its righteousness, then these things going to be added unto you. Why did he say that? He's trying to say, don't give no thought for tomorrow. There's enough problem down the road. Don't worry about that. Know this, that I would not have given you this thing in your heart without providing for it. I'm going to provide for it on every level. And when the time is right, I'm going to cause you to be able to walk into the fullness of the fulfillment of that promise. In other words, I'm going to provide for you a little bit along the way as you go through the process and as you learn patience and as your faith gets built up. But then there's going to come a time, you better hear what I'm saying, when I'm going to unleash the whole thing and let you walk fully into the promises of God. This is where we are in the scripture. So when we find ourselves in Joshua 21, we find ourselves in a fulfilled promise. I am trying my very best to try to tell you that this is what your pastor believes is taking place right now, right before your eyes. And boo, if you don't grab this thing and run with it, I don't know what to tell you. Moses is dead. The way it used to be is over. You better pick it up and get to stepping into the promise of God. You better stop looking at your bills. You better stop worrying about what was. I wish I had somebody to talk to and say, these are my glory days. I'm about to step into the promises of God and see yourself in that scripture. So when the Lord gave them all, put your name in there. Look at your name and say, I'm putting my name in there, man. I don't care what it looks like right now. I'm putting my name up in there. Hallelujah. Now, when you think about this, I don't want to go there. Think about this for a moment. Just stay with me. I got 10 minutes. I'm going to take my 10 minutes. Think about this for a moment. Think about this. The children of Israel, for years, not, you know, if we just take the Exodus of 40 years, I'm not talking about the 400 years they were in slavery. But just the 40 years of them believing God that they would see this promise. And if you think about that narrative during those 40 years, they were being provided for with manna from heaven, chicken and whatnot. I can't get help. That's what your Bible says. Yeah. Quail was coming. They're in the middle of the desert and water's coming out of a rock. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm preaching back. Why? Little by little. It's God's will for them to go into the promise. You think he got you? And that was their thing. God brought me out here to kill me. He could have left me where I was. Stupid. We're coming out to the desert to die. Moses, let's go back. Because going back, you're used to. You can accept that life. You can accept that life because it's more reality than what God promised you. Broke, you know. I'm preaching to somebody in here. You know how to be broke. And you are comfortable there because you have mastered broke. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. You know I'm talking, right? You know how you master, you know how you mastered broke? I can give you $2. You done been got your clothes clean. Got a meal with a Pepsi. No, I'm talking right. If I gave my son $2, he would look at me and say, what am I going to do with this? He wouldn't even say, thanks, Dad. No, he really wouldn't. Because he know I'm not going to give him $2. The other day, he was going back to school. He said, Dad, I need some money. I was just like, you need a job. And he goes, Dad, you said school was my job. I said, I did, but you almost out. I said, you almost out, buddy. And he needs some money. I didn't ask him how much he needed. I didn't ask him what he wanted. I gave him what was my will. Knowing his nature and knowing what he likes and what he wants to do, that whatever I give him, he's going to have more than enough to do all those things and he can leave me alone. Now, I can't give Liv what I give him. Yeah. Because Liv will be at the mall. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Yeah, you don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear what I'm saying. God will give you that vision according to his will. When you think about the narrative and you think about everything that the Lord did for them, oh, glory to God. You have to think that there was nothing that they did not need during the whole process that God did not provide for. Putting your name in the scripture is personalizing the promise. When you personalize, stay with me, the promise, you have to expect to be challenged. Because the enemy ain't just going to let you walk into the promise. Y'all are not in here with me. Because he knows life is going to be totally different on the other side of Jordan. Oh, I wish I had somebody. He knows the moment you cross over, you're going to have a whole totally different perspective of what God can do. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to inherit your inheritance. Come on here. No, oh God, you don't hear me. You don't hear me. You have to inherit your inheritance. And so, so it wasn't that. It wasn't that what God was going to do in their life was so difficult. As a matter of fact, it was the conditioning that they needed to personalize the promise. Real quick, Joshua 1, 3, 4. Joshua 1, 3, 4, and we're closing. Okay, listen, listen, listen. Don't read it yet. You gotta hear me. Please receive this. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Y'all ain't said nothing to me all night. So I'm begging you, at least get this one. At least get this one. Okay. Last week I told you, you gotta imagine yourself in the promises of God. You gotta see yourself in it. So I did this little test. Put your name in there and personalize the promise. Why do I make you personalize the promise? Here's your answer. Here's your answer. Here's your answer. If you can't see yourself in glory days, that's a declared word, by the way, for the church. Meaning that's something that, okay, I don't have time. You either grab it or you don't. All right? You grab it or you don't. All right? So if you can't see yourself in glory days, right, and you can't embrace that, and you know, you don't want to embrace it, okay. Then, when the vision comes to pass and the promise shows up, glory to God, I want you to notice what the Lord told Joshua. Okay. I want you to notice what he told him. Because here's how he provides for the vision. You don't hear what I'm saying. It's okay. When God gives you a promise, it comes in dimensions. It's very simple. Dimensions are degrees of freedom. How free are you willing to be in the promise? Stay with me. So, because some people don't think they deserve it, they only go so far. Huh? Because some people are lazy. Talk about you, I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about you. If some people are lazy, they will only go so far. Okay. I can tell. I can feel your weight. Huh? Here's why. Here's what he told him. Moses, my servant, is dead. The person that used to lead you, the one you used to lean on, he gone. He ain't coming back. But I need you to get up, go over this Jordan, you and all the people and all the children of Israel. Watch this. And everywhere, I wish I had somebody in here. I'm about to run myself. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given it to you. You don't hear me. God is explaining the dimensions of his promise. And he's saying to you, look, you got to get up now. Because you used to be led by Moses and he would say, go this way. Now there is nobody there to give you direction. So you got to have the gumption to say, wherever I place the sole of my foot, God said I can have it. You better stop waiting for somebody to tell you where to go. And you better start picking them up and putting them down and saying, this is mine, because God's, y'all ain't in here with, because God said I can have it. God, who am I preaching to in here? Wherever you place the sole of your foot, I'm just going to leave you with this and tread upon, I've given it to you. As I said to Moses, I'm about to throw this towel. You can't just read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. From the wilderness, from where you came from, to where you are now. Y'all ain't here. You thought you left it behind. God said, I'll give it back to you, because now you're strong enough to handle it and you got the power to go back and pick it up. Y'all not in here with me. Y'all ain't ready for no church. I can tell y'all ain't ready for Friday. Y'all are not ready for Friday. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. You don't hear what I'm saying. He says, I'll take you. Okay. Even the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. I'm going to give you a view of what I brought you out of. Y'all not in here with me. And you can stand on the shoreline of your victory and of your salvation. I wish I had somebody in here to preach to and look at the devil and say, look at what the Lord had done. You meant it for evil, but God done turned that thing around for good. Now I'm standing in total victory, walking in my promise, and everything that God said I can possess, I have. Hallelujah. So it's a moment in time that God is giving this ministry. But if you don't have the gumption, if you don't have the stomach to start treading, picking them up and putting them down, I'm doing it myself. No, I'm doing it myself. Right now. So I've been in meetings all day. I done formed a whole new corporation. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. Lawyers and everything. Guns blazing. Because I'm treading. Amen. Give it to me. That's mine. Give it here. That's mine. I want that. Who owns that? Give it to me. Y'all ain't here with me. I'm doing it. Why? These are glory days, baby. I wish I had somebody here. These are glory days. You can live however you want to live. I'm living in glory days. My promise is personalized. And so when I read Joshua 21, 43 through 45, my name is in there. My church's name is in there. Baby, I can't put your name in there. You got to put your own name in there. And if you dare to do it, you're going to see yourself possessing. Amen. The promises of God. Hallelujah. The promises of God. I hope you were blessed tonight. I hope you were. I hope you got something.